Hello, everyone,
Okay.
and welcome to the second episode of That Creep Podcast. I'm joined by my friend Berg again. I'm going to talk about three disturbing things that we've found across the internet. So we're thinking we're going to start with the volcano thing because, to me at least, it was one of the most interesting ones. I don't know if you agree, but I found
Yeah,
it.
I haven't read too much into it, so I'm hoping you can kind of fill me in. But yeah, it
Yeah.
definitely looks really interesting. Based on the first like paragraph of the article you sent me, I think it's quite the adventure. It
Yeah.
sounds like it anyways.
We'll blag it. That's it. All right.
Yeah.
So it was, I think it was essentially a, almost arrogance is what caused the disaster to happen, like stubbornness on the part of the scientist. It was, there was, at the time, which was 1991, there was a volcano called Galeris, I think it was, in Colombia, which hadn't erupted for a very long time, and it did. But they there's one scientist, I can't think of his name. It was did you see about Bernard, I think Bernard Schuetz? He had like a method that was to
Schwed.
do with one was to do with seismology. So obviously like you can detect as like where the magma is as it gets close to the surface of the volcano, which means it's closer to erupting. And there was another guy called Stanley Williams, and he believed that he was pretty much more of a hands-on sort of one. So he thought you had to pretty much go into like the like volcano, like essentially like right on the rim of it, and get gas measurements. And I think the volcanoes emit more sulfur dioxide, it is, when the magma is close to the surface, when it comes out of different like pockets. So he believed that obviously that magma is at the surface. I don't really know if they saw eye to eye on this sort of thing. It seemed to me that he was pretty stubborn, to be honest, and didn't really want to believe Bernard Schuette's method.
All right. So he wanted to go in and prove him wrong, you think, or just.
I think so. It was like the two biggest methods at the time, and I think Bernard Schuette had a bit more credit, it seemed to me, from what I've seen, than Stanley Williams. Although both methods were being used, I think if they just used both of them at the time, this wouldn't have happened. But it was a. So I think we should probably start with, it was, I think, in 1991, Galeris was showing signs of activity, and groups of volcanologists, they pretty much just fled to Colombia to study it. So obviously there was gas being emitted, and that meant that the volcano was active pretty much. And there's things called lava domes, which is a good sign that there's going to be an eruption. That's pretty much where magma breaks through to the surface pretty much, and there's like a dome of lava. So if the lava breaks this dome, I think there's less chance of an eruption happening. But if it doesn't and it like seals over, then there's pretty much like a built up pressure and stuff, and then that's like there's an imminent eruption pretty much. So that's how they happen when it's like that. So obviously it did erupt pretty much, and obviously that's when I believe that was 1991 that happened, because they all went back, I think, 6 months after, I believe it was. I think it was around that time after the eruption was the like ideal time to like study it. So I think 50 scientists gathered in Pasto, which is in Colombia, and Williams decided that and it wouldn't erupt. He claimed to like people that he was actually going to do this, and obviously people at the time were like thinking this isn't a good idea, because he wanted to literally get people, like a group of people, I think about 16 people, I think it was about, and he wanted to get them to the rim of the volcano and study it obviously. But I mean, that's probably not the best idea, is it? It's just
Yeah,
erupted.
probably not.
Yeah, and then so he did actually take a group of people, and although it was active, obviously he didn't think it would erupt. And he claimed that the crater was pretty much inactive at this point, because it the gas emissions thing that he believed, because he went to the top before like and pre did all these gas test things and said like the gas emissions are low, there's no need to worry anymore. Like, it's not going to erupt. Although at the time, the other method, the seismograph method, showed that it was going to be active again soon. So these two methods at the time contradicted each other, which should have been a good sign to me at least, that don't go, because if there's two methods contradicting each other,
Yeah,
it's probably not a good idea.
if there's any sign of this might not be a good idea, I think I'd nope out of there, because I don't, an active volcano 6 months ago, I don't know if I want to be a part of that.
Exactly. Yeah.
I'm surprised he got 16 people to volunteer. Well,
Yeah.
I'm guessing they're on his team, so they probably got paid, but.
Yeah, I mean, it's, I think it was, so it was on January 14th, 1993. The Stanley Williams, he's a actually a professor of geology, I think, at Arizona State University.
All right.
And there was a group of 16 people. He was obviously the leader of them. There were 13 scientists and engineers, obviously himself included, three tourists who I guess would have known the area, I guess, to help them out. And
Oh, yeah.
they went to
Free
the
tourists.
yeah, they said free tourists, that's what I read. I mean,
That's really weird.
I thought, like, tourists of all people, like, they must have had some, help. I don't see why they're
I'd
disappointed.
say so, yeah. It was him, 13 scientists, and then just three
Three
tourists.
tourists, three people they found along the way.
Yeah, three people who just were going up anyways. It's
Yeah.
a very random group of people.
I'm not, it's just mental that, like, three randomers were allowed to come. Like, when you think they're actually studying, I mean, they
Yeah.
must have helped them in some way. It can't just be like three little scragglies they found along the way. It couldn't have been.
Yeah. It is bizarre. It's a bizarre inclusion, no matter what. That's
Yeah.
just three tourists. I mean, yeah. I mean, that's a crazy trip if that's what they did on their trip. I mean, that's.
You reckon you would have gone or not?
If he asked me, he must have been good at convincing people if he got 13 scientists. And I
Mean,
mean,
I'm
I guess
sure
they were
you're on
getting
his
paid.
list.
Yeah, I mean, if they wanted to see the results, I guess maybe I'd be the
Yeah.
same. Maybe I'd trust it. Stan the man.
So,
I don't know.
I mean, obviously, yeah, you were the first on his list, so I'm surprised you didn't get the
Yeah, I know. He just kind of he benched me for some reason, but I don't know.
call,
I'm glad I was minus three. He wasn't into it back in 1993. He just,
but yeah, you weren't his plus one.
yeah, he wasn't giving me the time of day.
I think the after that they obviously they went to the crater at the summit that, and I think that was, I think they left around 9 in the morning, and it was about 9,000 feet, I think, and they worked there for about 4 hours until about half 1 p.m. and they heard, like, no, it's just like randomly they started hearing rocks falling from the volcano, like in the space like 30 seconds, I think about four rocks they heard falling. And then they one of them, the scientist, turned to that Stanley Williams and said, like this is doesn't seem right. And then apparently, as he said that, the volcano erupted. And I mean, that's pretty scary, isn't it? Like, literally
Yeah,
on the edge of,
Jesus.
there's literally a few, there's videos of this online too. They're literally on the rim of the volcano, like they're right next to it. Like, they're not even like a
Wow.
bit further down it, they are like on it pretty much. And
Jesus.
there's footage of them, like, obviously they're filming it as they're going up it and stuff and that sort of thing, and it's just like everything's gray, so there's no way that you'd be able to dodge things either. It's
Yeah.
like I can see his point where, like, I think this volcano hadn't erupted in, I could be wrong here, but I think it hadn't, it erupted about 30 times in 500 years, and if it just erupted 6 months ago, like, you're thinking it's probably not going to at
Yeah,
this point.
statistically you're probably in the clear, but yeah, Jesus, that's very unlucky.
Yeah,
Because they
I
went up
mean,
at 9 a.m. and it started erupting at like 2 p.m.
yeah, 1:30 p.m. So, I mean, that's
So
just bad
just in a
timing.
5 hour space as well. Yeah, the
Yeah, if they
coincidence
went the
is
next
wow.
day, they it wouldn't have happened.
Yeah.
Like, so they I think there was rocks the size of small cars and fridges being thrown in the air, obviously, and one of the tourists was hit by like a massive rock, and one of these scientists described it as like a fence post being hit into the ground. Like, there's no way you'd like survive it. So obviously they died.
Yeah.
One of the scientists saw someone, like, I think it was actually, oh, Stan was on the, like, Stanley Matthew, Big Stan was on the floor screaming, and he's like screaming that his leg was broken and severed and that, and he wanted to help him out, but obviously he was running down the volcano trying to get away from it, and he had to leave him because he thought, like, he pretty much left him to die, but it
Oh
turned out
yeah.
he didn't die. he actually survived somehow.
So one of the scientists, Stan was on the ground, and then one of the scientists ran down and just had to run past him because he was like running for his life.
Yeah, he didn't think he was going to make it because he was like so like worn out and like in shock pretty much that he thought he just left him for dead pretty much. He couldn't, like, he wouldn't be able to pick him up pretty much.
Oh yeah.
So I think there was I think it was Andrew McFarlane, I think one of them was called. And he, that was the one who ran past Stanley, I think. And he was found at the bottom of the crater later on in shock with a fractured skull and everything. And alive. Yeah, he was alive, but like there's a video of it as well. Like he's all like, if he was left any longer, he probably wouldn't be. Like he was in a really bad way.
Stanley broke his legs and his skull, and he fell down the mountain.
Oh no, I believe that Stanley Williams broke his legs, and Andrew McFarlane fractured his skull, and he was in shock.
Two different people. All right.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. He was one of the scientists.
But they both survived.
I think they may have been the only two who did. I'm not. I believe they were. And 9 others died, so maybe one more survived. How many people were there? 16. Mm. So those, maybe one more survived. 9 people died in the explosion. Maybe 4.
Oh.
Yeah.
There's 16 people who went up.
Yeah, there was an engineer who died in the blast just because of the intensity, and apparently there was nothing left but like a blackened, lacerated head and torso. There was a scientist from another part of Colombia called Nestor Garcia, and another Russian volcanologist, and another, I think there were 2 Russians, and they were actually in the crater at the time of the eruption. So they was literally inside where the crater was as it erupted, and they were instantly turned to gas, and there was no trace of them ever found.
Jesus. It is actually, I kind of find it crazy because it says like, so 9 people died but 16 went up. So there's like 7 who survived.
Yeah.
I actually think that's actually a higher number than I would have thought for like a volcanic eruption, like in a volcano.
Yeah, that's me too, to be honest. Like, I think some of them are actually in the volcano as it erupted, literally in the crater. Yeah. That's mental.
It is bizarre. Jeez.
There was another scientist as well and 3 tourists that were burned or bombed to death by the rocks that were apparently going at the velocity of bullets. So that's what killed them.
Oh, right. Oh, yeah.
So that was, I mean, it's just like, I didn't know anything like this had even happened.
Yeah.
It's surprising to me. Like, I can't even imagine, like, when they started to realize that something was going to happen. I suppose they didn't have much time between it, but they must have been getting some. Sure, they must have used this seismograph thing as well as, like, I don't see why they couldn't have used both methods. Like, why it was just one method being used and not the other one.
Yeah. Like, the trip wasn't really necessary, I don't think.
It wasn't a necessary trip. Like, I think it would have been a very important thing. But I think maybe it should have been done more carefully. Like, I think after this, that Stanley Williams was held as like a hero. But I think now people are starting to realize he pretty much led people to his death.
Oh, because he survived. So came back and he was like heroic.
He was revered as like a hero for it. And then now I think now people are starting to realize like he pretty much led all these people to death.
Oh, so like, the story's kind of changed a bit now.
Yeah, people sort of starting to, you know, think he's a bit, you know.
I'm surprised I've never heard of Stanley Williams.
Yeah, me too.
I typed him in just there, and the first that came up was an American gangster, so I don't think that's him, but.
just after.
An early leader of the Crips, so I don't know if he if he went from the geologist to the Crips, but.
That was the week after, yeah, he went straight to the Crips. Yeah.
Stanley Toki Williams. That's it. All right, that's probably the wrong one, but
what are you talking about? That's the right one.
Oh yeah, that's it. Definitely. He's had quite the life.
Yeah, the Crips took me. Couldn't believe his luck.
He came back a hero to the Crips.
Yeah. It must have been, obviously, I mean, it would be, but the people that were inside the volcano, it must have been instant. Like the death.
Yeah, I mean, it was probably a better way to go than the way the tourists went. I mean, seeing as they basically got shot by like the volcanic ash,
Yeah,
or
especially
they're
the person who was hit on the head by like a piece the size of fridge, like, and just got like jammed into the ground. Like, that's gotta be one of the worst
That's a bad way
ways.
to go. Yeah, definitely. That's a bad way to go. Yeah, I think, yeah, I'd want to go out like the two scientists in the crater.
Yeah, so it would be the quickest way to go, wouldn't it? It'd just be, would it be, would you reckon it was steam that killed them, or would it
I
be,
guess, yeah, what would happen before the eruption?
would be the
Surely it's not
steam,
just
yeah.
like just an eruption, but even the steam in that would probably kill them.
Yeah. I mean,
Yeah,
they're probably
because
just vaporized pretty much.
yeah, I'd say so. I don't know the logistics of like how volcanic eruptions work, because I wasn't very good at geography in school, but like I'm
Surprise
assuming
me.
there's I'm surpr I'm assuming like there's like it doesn't just erupt like with a bunch of lava. I'm assuming it produces some kind of heat and then it
Yeah.
bubbles up and erupts.
Yeah, I think it is where the magma slowly breaks through the rock and everything, and then it gets to the point where it can burst through. But then if it seals over and gets hard, then the pressure of all the steam and the heat and everything will cause the eruption to happen, I think. And the seismograph pretty
Okay.
much, do you know, like an organ in a church? Like, I think the way the seismograph measures it pretty much is, say, like, if like a sound's going through that really long pipe, like, it's the same as the lava. As it's coming up, you can sort of tell where it is by the like the vibrations in the thing and the
Oh
like
yeah.
seismic activity with the lava and everything. So you can tell if it's near the top or near the bottom of the volcano from where the seismic like activity is happening. I think that's
Yeah.
essentially it.
All right, yeah, that makes a bit of sense.
Yeah. So
Yeah, I
yeah,
can see that.
that's that one then.
All
Yes.
right, yeah, that was there. Yeah, that's very interesting. That's well, I guess it's good that people are taking the Stanley Williams being a hero with a grain of salt. I mean, he did go through a lot, but that's like
Yeah.
it is
And he couldn't walk for two
maybe.
years afterwards. I mean, he's gone through a lot, but I know he didn't mean
Yeah.
badly, but I feel like it could have been done in a much better way. I don't see why the two scientific methods had to be like against each other, if you know what I mean. Like, I don't understand why they couldn't have
Yeah.
just taken both into account.
Yeah. It is, yeah. In the pursuit of science.
Exactly. I mean, like, I couldn't figure out when I was reading all this stuff, like, if like you look at the size that seismograph and then you've seen your results and they're like contradicting, nip back next week. Do you know what I mean? Like, see if it's
Yeah,
any better next week. Like,
yeah.
don't go on the day. Just maybe do better
Yeah,
than this.
it seemed bizarre to go on the day. I was definitely Yeah, I can see it was definitely unprepared. And also the random inclusion of the three tourists seemed like it was just like a school trip or something. It was like a just a
Yeah, I
going for the
mean,
buzz.
you know. Yeah, exactly. We could be wrong with that bit, and they could actually have had some part in, you know, helping them to ascend the volcano maybe or something, but it just seemed like they were there for the cracker, and they weren't really there for any real reason from what I've
It seems like their inclusion wasn't that necessary, but yeah,
read.
it's a pretty sad story, but
Yeah.
yeah,
So
don't really have a conclusion to it, but
yeah, me neither. I mean, it's just
yeah.
one of them tragedies that's just, I think, an
Yeah.
unnecessary one personally, but
Yeah, definitely interesting to read about though. I've never heard about it before you told
yeah,
me.
definitely is. Yeah, and there's videos of it online and everything, like, and if you watch it, you can tell like they're in a bad way
Oh
afterwards.
yeah. And hopefully other scientists learn from this mistake. So
Yeah, I hope so. I mean, apparently there's a
So
lot of
that's
volcanoes around that area, so I mean there's the likelihood of one erupting, I guess, would probably be more likely in that sort of area, so hopefully they
yeah.
take it into a bit more of consideration next time.
Yeah, take a bit of caution.
Yeah, so the next one, did you want to do the plane one?
Oh yeah. That sounds interesting.
That one was pretty
There's another
mental.
one that I hadn't really heard about either, and I was more surprised that I hadn't heard about this, because this is, well, I had
Recent,
kind of
pretty
like,
recent.
yeah, I had kind of heard about it, but not in the I hadn't read into it further, and now that I have, it's a really creepy idea. It sounds like
Is.
a horror movie that wouldn't do that well, but has like a good idea, but yeah, it is definitely, it's really weird, but I'm interested in hearing more.
Yeah, it was it's the Helios Airways flight 522, wasn't it? And it was a scheduled passenger flight from Cyprus to Athens in Greece. So it's not like a long flight or anything. And it essentially just crashed on the 14th of August 2005, killing 121 passengers and the crew on board. So that, like, obviously people would think, like, why did that happen? So we might as well go from the start, I suppose, of all of it. So it was from, obviously, I said Cyprus to Athens. It took off as expected at around 9 a.m. in the morning. Then 3 minutes after it took off, the captain reported a pulling system fault, and it was only minor. So they were told, like, just to go ahead to the cruising altitude, which was actually going to be the last communication they would have with them. And I think even after the communication was lost, I don't think it was kept like under wraps, because I could be wrong with this, but I think it was actually on the news whilst it was still in the air. So like it was being broadcast on the news while this is all happening, so which is pretty mental. And the plane was on autopilot for a while, a long while, I think around 2 hours, and it just circled over Athens. And can you hear that? Can't be done. Jesus Christ, I heard of seagulls just gone mental over my house.
All right, okay. I thought that was the end for us. I thought we had set too far. We were doing a bit too much research there. I think we've accidentally found them.
They're onto us. So, where was I anyway? Oh, yeah, a plane circled over. They're still going. Oh, yeah, I don't got enough.
Okay, yeah, I can't hear
So,
them.
the plane circled over Athens. And obviously, at the time, they didn't know what was happening because there was no communication. So, they weren't sure whether it was a terrorist attack. So, they decided to send up two fighter jets to intercept it. And they reported back that the passengers were all wearing oxygen masks, and the co-pilot was slumped on his controls, and there was someone struggling with the controls, like, as well, like, obviously the pilot. So they couldn't see who that was, so they thought the plane was hijacked. So they had around 15 seconds to decide whether to shoot it down and kill all the people on board, or just let the plane run out of fuel and head towards the mountains, which is literally what happened. Like, they wasn't sure what was going on, but they literally thought that it was a hijacking, like a 9/11 sort of hijacking. They thought that's what it was. But they was I think they were probably more likely to shoot it down to not run the risk. But then obviously the plane just ran out of fuel and then headed towards the mountains and crashed. And apparently passengers on like normal airplanes at the equivalent of around 8,000 feet, you're taking in like the oxygen of like what you would, like, say at 30,000 feet, you're taking in the amount of oxygen that you would at 8,000 feet or something, if I've said that right.
All right, yeah.
So yeah, 30,000 feet, you're
Awesome.
taking oxygen that, like, the amount, like, it's the equivalent of 8,000 feet where it's pressurized inside.
Oh yeah.
Couldn't have worded that. I couldn't have made
And
that any more tricky.
that's what happened.
So they basically said that none of the passengers died like before the crash happened, so there was no asphyxiation or anything. However, at 7,000 feet, there was a warning light that indicated a problem with the cooling system. Then at 10,000 feet, the flight recorder indicated a warning horn or something that means there's a loss of cabin pressure. Then at 14,000 feet, oxygen masks were deployed throughout the plane, and I think that might be an automated thing. I don't know if they do that in the cockpit. I think maybe that just happens when there's a pressure goes down to a certain point, if I'm right. So yeah, obviously I believe what happened was there was a loss of cabin pressurization, and it incapacitated the crew pretty much. So it left the aircraft flying on autopilot until it ran out of fuel, and then descended into the ground in like an outskirt of Athens in Greece, which is crazy. I mean, so it's like a ghost plane, because the people, I guess the passengers, didn't really know anything was happening, but it was on autopilot for ages, and then it was circling around for like 2 hours until it ran out of fuel. And I guess the crew must have just passed out from the pressure going.
I'd
And
say
it,
probably a lot of the passengers did as well then, if the crew were gone.
apparently not, because they had their oxygen masks. So I think apparently they think that the people only died, like the passengers only died on impact.
Oh, right. Oh, wow. That's really creepy.
Yeah, that's what I mean. So that the plane was flying, but there was nobody flying it pretty much. And I think the autopilot turned off or something, or I'm not sure whether the maybe the crew did, maybe probably decided to land, try and land it, like emergency land it, or if it just happened with the plane. But it went to manual for a little bit, and that's when it crashed, when it went off autopilot. But it probably lost fuel. So yeah, I think it was the loss of fuel that caused it was the crash.
Yeah, the first article I went on after you linked it to me, described it as a flying tomb, and I thought that was like the creepiest
Oh, fair.
description possible
That is a
for what it was.
really
Yeah, because it just
creepy
was so
description.
it was just like that's basically what it was like. Just a it was like purgatory or something, just waiting for death or just waiting for like
Yeah,
that's all you could
literally,
do.
like it was going to happen. Like there's no nothing they could have done.
Yeah, I'd say a lot of them realize it as well, probably when after like an
A
hour. But
while, yeah.
I guess if it was just flying around, maybe you just and there was no communication, maybe they just thought that they're flying to safety. But yeah, it
Yeah,
is kind of
maybe.
a it is a bizarre story.
Yeah.
You hear about like planes like disappearing and crashing and stuff like that, but the way this plane crash was really bizarre. Like it's didn't you, I haven't heard many stories like this where it just it didn't it just flew for 2 hours on autopilot and then crashed.
Crashed here when it lost fuel. And I didn't realize this, but I was watching a documentary earlier about this, and the pressurization thing on those planes. Like I thought it'd be some like high tech thing. From what I can tell, it's literally just at the back of the plane, a little hatch opens, lets air in, then the hatch closes when it's at the right pressure. Like
Really?
it's literally like that basic, like rudimentary sort of stuff. It's not
Wow.
even.
That is, oh Jesus.
I don't know
That's
if that's
crazy.
still practiced. I mean, it's pretty creepy if it is, but like I thought it'd be
Yeah, I
some like
mean,
high tech sort of equipment. Literally just the hatch opens and closes.
this was 2005, was it?
Yes.
So about 12 years. Maybe there's an updated system, but I mean, that's not too long in like the world of
No.
aviation. Maybe
Apparently the plane was
that.
pretty modern too, but it already had problem. Yeah, I think actually, yeah, that plane had a an emergency landing before that because of pressurization issues, and I guess they
Oh
can't
yeah.
even sort it out, which is
That's yeah,
bad.
that's bizarre.
That's really bad, isn't it?
Yeah, that's crazy. And it's a Boeing 737 as well, so I mean it's a huge plane. You'd think that it'd
It's from
have
1998, the plane, so it's not an exactly. It's not a new plane by any means, but at the time, it was like 7 years old. It's not even an old plane for the
Yeah, that's really weird.
Yeah.
That's pretty creepy, especially because everyone's like flying is the safest way to travel.
Yeah, of course. With there's not. I guess if it's like happened in the cockpit, there's nothing the pilots can do. Really, is there? Like, because it
Yeah.
apparently it will cause hypoxia. I believe it is. And it causes you to be like sluggish in your thinking, have dimmed vision, loss of consciousness, and ultimately from that you die. But like I guess
Yeah.
even if half of those things happens, it's you're in big trouble.
Yeah, I'd say so. Yeah, I mean, I mean, like, you'd want to be really. I mean, autopilot can only get you so far. It's weird that autopilot wasn't configured. Is
Yeah,
there like
that's.
an autopilot like you can configure the autopilot to just go to a safe place?
I'm not sure. I mean, maybe that's been implemented now, but I'm not sure.
Yeah, because that's surprising that it just. I guess like autopilot means just flying straight, but like,
Or maybe
surprised.
just
I
keeping
was
the
surprised that
altitude, maybe.
I was surprised though that they have no systems in place to avoid objects or not make a crash landing. Because I think like Tesla can do that now. I know cars and planes are different, but I think Tesla can like avoid and like Google Smart Car and stuff like that can do that now. So they have
Really?
that technology now.
Yeah,
Yeah,
nowadays,
like
like
the way they
temperatures
can
there.
avoid yeah, they can avoid like they can stop at red lights and avoid other obstacles. So I think if they could implement that technology into aviation, again, don't really know what I'm talking about, but
You
hopefully I'll come up with
surprised
a
me
good
again.
solution. Yeah, I'm gonna do a double here. But I think, like if they could implement that technology into aviation, maybe they could avoid things like that. Because
That's true,
I'm
yeah.
surprised the autopilot couldn't just take them down or something like that, or even attempt an emergency landing or fly into like a river like that guy did
Yeah,
in
that
New
in
York.
America, yeah.
In America, yeah.
Oh, yeah, I mean, that's
Yeah.
crazy when you think about it.
Yeah. Yeah, that's beside that'd be a tough way to go. These are two tough ways to go so far.
I mean, the last one's even worse. Actually,
Oh
no, to
yeah.
be honest, I'd say plane crash is the worst for me. That's the worst way to go, I think, in my opinion. Just knowing, just like knowing you're going down, you're just done for.
Yeah, it will be a tough one, yeah. I mean, I guess you could just stay optimistic, and then that would also kind of be like an instant, I imagine, if they crash into a hill. So maybe there was a few optimists there, but yeah. Again, yeah, it's another sad one.
Yeah, it is. I mean, I was just surprised that at 7,000 feet, when the warning light was indicating a problem with the cooling system, that they weren't just told, no, it's not that high. I'd like maybe just turn back around, land, sort it out. You know, like, it just surprised me that and after 10,000 feet, they had another problem, and they were told just to go to 34,000 feet, which like the cruising altitude from. I mean, it just surprised me that they weren't told to turn around at any point, given that there was a prior history of like pressurization problems with that exact plane. You just, I
Yeah,
mean,
that is true, actually. Yeah, I mean, they had like two problems by the time they weren't even halfway there, so it's like
yeah.
they could have, it's like they got halfway there and they could have just kept going or went back, but they made the wrong. Yeah, I guess just another lack of preparation. Like it's kind of a it's they
Yeah.
seem like such simple mistakes as well, but then like
Yeah,
the
and one of
consequences are so dire.
yeah, and the pilot studied in Brighton for 3 years apparently in England. So, I mean,
Oh
that just
yeah.
like throwing that as well. I mean, that surprised me too.
Yeah, that is surprising.
Yeah, so should we go on to the final one then?
Yeah, this one I'm interested in as well. This is
Me too.
definitely the least. This is definitely the most foreign one to me because I definitely haven't heard of this one.
No, I still don't understand like all the mechanics of what they had to do, but I know what has happened. I just I find it difficult to understand why they're doing certain things at certain times, but obviously I don't
Yeah,
really
I haven't
understand
found too many sources about it, but I mean, they have like a Wikipedia page and stuff, but they are, everything is a little vague, but yeah,
Yeah.
I think, yeah, it's still interesting though.
Yeah, I believe it happened on the 5th of November 1983 at 4 a.m. And they were drilling in the Frigg gas field that is in Norway in the North Sea. So there were, I think, four divers inside of a decompression chamber system that's attached by a trunk, apparently. I don't necessarily know what that means. I think it's like a short kind of like passageway sort of thing, like a little tunnel sort of thing. And there was a, and it led to a diving bell that was on a rig. So, and they were being assisted by two other people, I think dive tenders, I think they're called. But
All right.
as a result of this, as you know, four people died, and it was a pretty bad way to go, I think. So I think that what they were meant to do was close something called the bell door. Then the diving supervisor would slightly increase the pressure of the bell to seal the door, like so it's completely shut. And then after that, they would have to close the door between what was the trunk and the first chamber, so the passageway, I think, from the between the first chamber and the trunk. Then they had to gradually depressurize the trunk to one atmosphere, and then after that, they had to open a clamp to separate the bell from the chamber system. I mean, that's what this is the sort of stuff I don't get the ins and outs of why they're doing all this stuff. I just know what they've done. Do you know what I mean? Yeah, and then for some reason, after the first two steps were finished, and they still aren't sure of this, I believe, one of the tenders called Crammond, I think it must have been his surname, he opened the clamp before the fourth diver could close the door to the chamber. So that pretty much ended up in there being an explosive decompression, I believe it's called, of the unsealed chamber. So pretty much all the air rushed out of the chamber with like immense force, and it lodged the interior trunk door, and it pushed the bell away, striking two of the tenders. And then the tender who opened the clamp was killed pretty much, and the other one was severely injured. So pretty much, I think One of the divers was shot out through a really small jammed hatch door, and you've seen the picture. I mean, the picture's online. He was just ripped to bits. Like, I mean, once again, and we said this on the last one, and everyone went and searched the image. So there's no point saying don't go and look at it.
Every week you're sending me pictures of mangled bodies on Twitter.
I
Yeah.
know. Pretty
I'm
much on
getting used
weekly.
to
Yeah, you're getting used
it
to it.
now.
Quite
I'm waiting
enjoying
for
it
the
now.
weekend image. I get worried when I don't get sent one. But yeah, that image again was hard to that image again was kind of hard to watch, hard to look at as well. It's like it doesn't, you know. You do get like desensitized to these kind of things, but those kind of like just seeing body in such a way that it's clearly not supposed to be like that, like, is so far from what a human body is.
It wasn't even
It's
there wasn't
just.
even recognizable parts. Like, there was, you could see a hand in it and some torso and maybe an arm, but it was just so bad that you couldn't even make out a body or anything. It was apparently, I think it was just like it. I think I've read a fact about this. I've got one somewhere about this. Apparently, okay, so the 24-inch diameter opening would have an area of 452 square inches. So anything blocking that was exposed to a force of approximately 25 tons by the escaping air.
Wow, yeah, Jesus. Yeah,
That's
to cause that effect, the pressure would have had to have been immense. I mean, yeah, 25
bad.
tons, it's pretty Jesus, that's crazy. I mean, the like what I noticed with this one is that like for the first two, we were kind of like we were talking about like just lack of preparation and a little bit of stubbornness and stuff like that, and kind of things that, you know, just the people who kind of kept going when they should have stopped. But this mistake is like the most confusing to me, because the guy just he just opened the door basically.
I believe
Like,
so, yeah. Like, and I think, yeah, that literally that something went wrong for, they don't know why. I know that there was an investigation years after this, and they actually did have the wrong equipment. I don't know if that has anything to do with that happening, but they weren't supplied with the correct equipment for it.
yeah. But it must have either been like a lack of communication or a mistake or something, like, because
I
that's really
don't,
bizarre. Well, it
yeah,
says
they,
like, yeah, open the clamp before the door could be closed, but that's like such a
yeah, it
that seems like
seems
such a simple step for the
simple, yeah,
divers
like
to
it
make,
should be
yeah.
a given step that doesn't get, but I mean, it's not an answer to this, but they apparently they used to work like 16-hour days, so you're going to be very tired, and I suppose you could easily make a mistake, but a mistake of that magnitude, I don't know how that's happened.
Yeah, I mean, they could be like disoriented because they're doing manual physical labor as well, so they're probably very I mean, 16-hour days when you're doing stuff like that, like really kind of like, you know, I don't know, they probably didn't spend their whole days diving or swimming, but I mean, even like spending 3 or 4 hours doing that in a day, I mean, it seems like a lot.
Yeah, that's true. And I think there's a video on YouTube of another, like, the same thing happening. So I think someone accidentally knocked something out of place and the decompression was happening. But then obviously there's all panicking. And apparently from that video, they were 40 seconds away from the same thing happening that happened there. So there was obviously all panicking
Oh,
trying to
right.
get the guy to actually, there's like, obviously that's just, I think it was English people, so it might have happened in England, but I don't know where. But
That happened because they dropped something.
no, they must be, I think they was in quite a tight space and someone knocked a lever or something and it must have started to decompress the little chamber that was in.
Yeah, it's
And it's
weird
like,
that, like,
it's like a hissing noise and loads of smoke starts going in, and they're, yeah, apparently just seconds from the same thing happening.
Yeah, it's like, because like again with the first two, it's like the first two they like went too far, they were kind of unprepared, a little bit stubborn, but this one it's just one mistake and then everything just happened. And like with the one you just described, that's just one mistake, it's just one step away. So it seems like a really dodgy job, whatever. I mean, like,
Yeah, it
I
sounds
don't know the
bad.
specifics of this job, but whatever it is, I'm all right with it. Like I don't really want to, I wouldn't go for an interview.
No.
It just seems very It just seems very, I don't know, like
Again, I'm
what
surprised you haven't been
mistake is
asked.
there? Yeah, I know, it's crazy. I mean, they call up a couple of times, but I'm like, nah, I'm
Hey,
fine.
just
You
put
know, I'll
the
just talk about it. Yeah, put the phone down, I'm fine.
phone down.
Don't want to swim for 7 hours a day. But yeah, I know, that is bizarre. It's really
Yeah.
weird that you could be one mistake away, and they haven't fixed that either. Like, well, maybe they have now, but that seems really strange.
It's just mental. I think there are different body parts found like ridiculously far away from where this happened as well. Like it was just a bad situation all over. I think I've got a bit here actually about that. It
Oh, yeah.
says subsequent to investigation by a forensic pathologist determined die before being exposed to the highest pressure gradient, violently exploded due to the rapid and massive expansion of internal gases. All of his thoracic and abdominal organs and even the thoracic spine were ejected, as were all of his limbs. Simultaneously, his arms were expelled through the narrow trunk opening left by the jam chamber door, less than 60 centimeters, 24 inches in diameter. Fragments of his body were found scattered about the rig. One part was even found lying on the rig's, what's it, I don't know what this means, lying on the rig's derrick, I don't know what that means, 10 meters or 30 feet directly above the chambers. His death, it says his death was pretty much instantaneous and painless, but that's a bad way to go.
Yeah, it's a tough way to go when you can't retrieve the body and stuff like that. That's tough.
When I've read that his thoracic spine was ejected, oh God, that's terrible.
Yeah, that's a tough one. Jesus.
That's gotta be
That is
what
definitely the
I'm
most.
oh, sorry.
That's definitely the one I understand the least because I don't really understand what they were doing, but I also don't really understand how it happened. And then it just
You kind of
resulted
you
in.
don't work in all rigs.
Yeah, apparently not. Yeah, I don't know I know the logistics of a volcano and a plane, but then this one is just it's so foreign to me. I don't know what's going on here. But then to see it result in that is like, wow, Jesus, that's a lot.
Yeah, especially what surprised me the most was that it was so it went from 10 atmospheres, I think it was, to one atmosphere, like in a split second. And was it 25 tons of air trying to escape? Like, that's insane. That's an immense amount of pressure.
Oh yeah.
It's
Yeah, that is mad.
ridiculous. Out of all these three things we've covered, what would you say is the worst way to go?
The worst way to go?
Yeah.
They're all like pretty bad for different reasons, but the way the Taurus went down in the volcano, I'd say I'd give it
Yeah.
to that because like I don't know. Especially when there was like seven people survived, so there probably was a chance you could survive, and maybe they saw somebody survive. Well, they probably didn't see somebody survive, but I don't know. I
Yeah.
think I wouldn't like the idea. I think I'd like to go out instantly. I wouldn't like to have the hope in my mind that I could survive when I couldn't.
No, I suppose the even though it's a horrible way to go, the chamber one would probably be the best of the three awful options. But yeah, I mean, because it's instant. I suppose instant's not as bad as knowing that something's going to happen. Like maybe with the plane one, especially, like say if they actually knew, they because they must have seen the fighter jets coming alongside it and known something was awry. That's
Yeah,
what
that would have
surprised me,
been.
that one. They must have known something was off, especially when the things came down as well, like the masks. They must have known something was bad.
Yeah, that would have been pretty tough too, actually. That would have been nice.
Yeah, I
Yeah,
know.
all pretty. I'd say the best way I want to go though is like well, not the best way. None of best isn't really in this in the vocabulary right now, but the least worst way would probably be the inside the crater. If it did happen just
Yeah.
instantaneously, because that's like
Instantly.
also that's like he died in a crater of a volcano. It's kind of like, oh wow, that's like really nobody you ever know is gonna do that. Like you so you've done that, like you know, that's
It's
like
like a meta.
that's it'll be talked about forever. Like you know, your friends will be 95 talking
Yeah,
about
they'll be bragging.
they'll be forgetting their family's names, but remembering that you know their friend died in a volcano crater. Like because that's so
Yeah.
much more interesting.
Yeah.
So I guess I go like
I
that if I
mean,
had the choice.
best of a bad bunch, isn't it? All these are terrible.
Yeah, they're not nice at all. Yeah. Very interesting though. Very all very different as well.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. Like the last time it was radiation, this time I thought we could do something, a bit different.
Yeah, kind of more
It's a
like
bit like
feels more like
range of
geography
things.
or you know
Yeah.
aviation, volcanoes and water.
You know, we actually had a lot of good comments on the podcast.
Yeah, I did. I actually saw them. Thank you to everyone who commented, by the way. It was
It's
very
nice.
interesting. Yeah, it was nice. I was a bit nervous when you uploaded because I was like, it is a different kind of thing. But yeah, it was great. It was good support. Like I'm looking forward to doing more as well after that.
Yeah, me too. I think I'm gonna try and upload it on maybe Spotify or something too, so we can actually put it on different
Oh,
platforms
yeah.
too. I mean, I enjoy doing it. I honestly just do this podcast for fun. I'd really enjoy doing it.
Yeah, it's really fun just talking about. Also, your research really good. Yeah, because like, I mean, when you sent me the links, I'm like, I haven't heard about,
Oh,
I haven't
thank
heard of
you.
like most of these things,
A proper
if not any.
scout.
Like, so it's really enjoyable talking about them as well.
Yeah, I found one other thing for the next podcast we do. So I'll send you that
Yeah,
later on.
I can imagine you doing that in the online kind of creepy world. You see the same things, like.
Yeah, you see a lot of the same sort of
Oh yeah, that's cool.
stuff.
Yeah, that'd be really interesting.
Yeah, if people want to see
Yeah, it's been
more,
fun.
then obviously go and subscribe
It's
to
been
the
a
Burke's channel. His links will be in the description and everything. You know, your local oil rig
Thanks, man.
worker, Burke.
Yes. If I
So
don't quit for the oil rig, then I'll
yeah.
make another video soon.
All right, so I'll probably be sending you some pictures of dismembered bodies soon, so everyone can look forward to
Yeah, very excited.
that. All right, so yeah, if you want to see more podcasts, then let us know, and if you want to see on different platforms, then we'll be happy to do it too. All right, I'll see you soon.